Verse 22, if you need a Bible, lift up your hands, the ushers will get a Bible to you. Again, Romans chapter 15, while you're turning there, a couple things just to bring your attention to. We're doing that Red Cross blood drive, that's August 7th, so a couple weeks away. You can get the information, and then you can go online, get a date and a time, well, not a date, but a time, and kind of get that straightened out. And, you know, people are saying they're hurting for blood right now. And we got a thank you from the Salvation Army that we, like, really did great in that. So that's good, right? Thank you, guys. You're generous. Now be generous with your blood. It's only blood. Come on, you can reproduce that. So kind of if you can, give. And that's a great thing. So again, they're going to be here from 8 to 1 p.m. I was going to say from 8 to 7, but only one. So, all right, and then also, just to let you know, this Wednesday is the pottery presentation at Calvary Midtown in Tucson. So, you know, and you guys who aren't going, pray that God would use that. They're going to relaunch their Wednesday night services, so we're going to use that to get that going again, and then just pray that people in the neighborhood would come and hear the gospel. So, and you can make your way up there if you want, all right? Let's go to the Lord. God, today, as we open the Word, we want to hear from you, Lord, and God, it's exciting to be able to gather with brothers and sisters, and Lord, that we can lift up our hearts in music and in song, Lord, and we just thank you for that, and we want to continue that attitude as we're in your Word, as we're reading, Lord. We, again, just don't want to read stories or, Lord, just hear what Paul had going on, Lord. We want it to impact our lives. And Lord, I do pray, especially this section here where he gets pretty personal and Lord, just down to some details of his walk with you, I pray that that would influence our walk with you. I believe we're here today because, Lord, we do want to know you more, and Lord, we want to be men and women who are equipped to do the ministry that you've called us to do. And we came today expecting for you to do something. Expecting for you to work in our lives and change us. And so, Lord, we know that if we came with that heart and that attitude, we know you're going to meet us here, and we know you're going to do something incredible. And I ask that, again, that you would just have your way, bless this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good, the lights are still on. Hey, Paul, as Paul is writing this, I believe he's writing it from Corinth around 58 A.D., so kind of keep in mind of, you know, some of the letters that he wrote to the Corinthians and sort of what's going on in that church, and as he's ministering there, he's also writing to the church at Rome and, you know, kind of dealing with some of those issues. But here's the thing. Paul also, in this section, is going to show us he's got some plans. He's got some huge plans. And that's what I love reading. I love reading where you kind of get into it, and Paul's got these, like, gigantic plans going on. And some of them are going to come to pass, some of them are not. But listen, if you don't plan, you're not going to get anywhere, right? If you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit that every single time. So listen, Paul has this, and you know, yet he, at the same time, is remaining tremendously flexible. Chuck Smith used to always say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. You know, and that wasn't a biblical passage. It was just true. If you're flexible, you won't break. And in thinking of that, I ran across this story. This is a great story about a Navy captain. It says there was an officer in the Navy who had always dreamed of commanding a battleship. He finally achieved that dream and was given the commission of the newest and proudest ship in the fleet. Then one stormy night, as the ship plowed through the seas, the captain was on duty on the bridge, and when off the port side, he noticed a strange light rapidly approaching on his vessel. Immediately, he ordered the signalman to flash a message to the unidentified craft, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. And only a moment had passed when the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that his ship would not take a back seat to any other, the captain snapped out this order to be sent. I am telling you, alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I'm the captain. The response beamed back, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm Seaman Third Class Jones. Now infuriated, the captain grabbed the signal in his own hands and fired this message. Alter your course, I'm a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course, I'm a lighthouse. So some of us are like Captain No Change here, right? You're like determined you're going to go that direction. Doesn't matter what's happening. You have your course set and you're going to do it. And yet we should be flexible, shouldn't we? We should be thinking about, listen, James says it this way. I love what James says. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life, even it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. And then I put up there Acts 16. If you're not familiar with that, remember that's the time where Paul's taken off and he's got it in his mind. He's going to go, actually he starts out and he's going to kind of go to the east and God blocks that door. Then he goes a little bit north and God blocks that door. Then he tries another direction and God blocks that door. And finally the guy from Macedonia says, hey, you know, you need to come up here and kind of go northwest as the direction. And remember he went all of those ways and kind of bumping into things. But yet he remained flexible. Well, in this section today, Paul's talking about the plans he has for the future, what he's thinking about, but he's also got a very pressing matter he needs to take care of. Then, man, Paul's going to head to Spain. Listen what he says. Well, you know, I said verse 22. Back up to verse 20 and kind of include that as we look at verse 22. It says, and so I have made it my aim to preach a gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it was written, to him who, or to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard, shall understand. For this reason, I have been much hindered from coming to you. So Paul, listen, Paul had this desire to go. And as I said, he's in Corinth and he had just talked about his ministry and the circle that he went in, that 1400 mile circumference that he was ministering in. And then he says, listen, but for this reason, what reason? Because the plans he had, because the vision he had. He says, listen, I've been much hindered from coming to you. Paul wanted to get to Rome. It was his desire, but the Lord was not allowing him to go that direction yet. And he's letting him know, listen, there's good things that sometimes you and I cannot do because it's not God's plan for us. And we need to understand, I think sometimes some people, you know, in their ministry and what they're doing, they try and do everything. You can't do everything. It's not possible. And so you got to limit yourself. You got to know. You got to pick. You got to choose. And most importantly, you have to be directed by the Lord, right? So Paul says, listen, I was hindered from coming to you, but, verse 23, but now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Now, here's what I love, man. Paul's saying how bad he wants to get there, but then he's also letting them know, you're not really like my final destination. It's not like I love you guys as much as I love Spain. I'll stop along the way. I'm kind of thinking that was sort of, you know, come on, Paul, what about us? And he says, on my way to Spain, I'm going to stop. And then I love how he throws this in there. And then you can help me on my journey. You know, because I know I'm going to need a little help. You can be involved in that. But I hope that there's some joy going on between us when we get together and we fellowship and we come together. So here's what that tells me. Number one, he's been hindered from coming to them. Now he's talking about coming to them. Paul obviously didn't plant this church in Rome, right? Because he's never been there. He's not even been with them. And so, you know, he's saying, man, I want to come, but I haven't come yet. And then when I come, listen, when I come, I really want to enjoy your company for a while, and then I really got to get to Spain. It's interesting as I read this, thinking about his heart and his desire to go to Spain, and the fact that, you know what, the fact that even the Apostle Paul, he had goals in his life. He had goals in his ministry. He kind of had, listen, and I don't, you know, we talked about a while back, do you have a 5-year plan? I'm not necessarily talking about that, but listen, do you have goals? Have you set forth goals spiritually that you want to achieve in your life? Have you looked at your life and said, this time next year, here's where I want to be with the Lord. Here's the things that I want to have happening in my life. And then are you preparing yourself? Are you putting yourself in a position for that? Are you looking at, listen, are you looking at studying the Word more carefully? Are you looking at maybe getting involved in the school of ministry that's coming up so that you can fulfill those spiritual needs? Or how about studying some theology? I think that's always great, man. You start looking at theology, and theology gets you thinking about God and who God is and how great He is. Or how about this one? Can I be a better husband next year than I am this year, or a better wife next year than I am this year? Am I going to dig into Scripture and find out what does the Word say about a godly husband or a godly wife? Or how about a godly parent? You see, do you look at your life and say, man, here's where I want to be? Because here's what I know from experience. You're not going to get to the Spain aspect until you get to the closer aspect. So Paul, listen, he had that. And then I think about, how about in your ministry? Because whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not, all of us have a ministry that God has given us. We're part of a body. And the body has to function together. Are you working in a way that you can be better at the ministry He's given you? You know, something I found in my life that really helps me in ministry is to surround myself and hang out with other people who are doing the ministry I'm doing. And then talk to them and glean from them and try and get understanding from them. How about doing some courses? Again, doing some studying. Or how about this? How about putting yourself outside your comfort zone in your ministry and have to do something that's not very comfortable? I think that's always a great thing to do. Step out, and I, in my personal life, I look for ways, hey, where can I step out? Where can I do some things? Where can I, you know, kind of put myself on the spot? I just talked to Ron Hint. He's been here before from Houston, and he invited me and asked me in October, we're going to go to Cuba together. And I'm thinking, that's kind of like not fun. You know, to go to a country like that and think about that. And I even called him the other day to try and back out. See, I'm like everybody else. I went, Ron, I'm not sure this is a really good time or a really good idea. And he says, oh, no, you're going. This is, we're going to make this happen. So listen, we do things like that, and we need to be people to do that. And then, and again, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in your ministry? And then I think another important thing that as Christians sometimes we neglect, our physical health. I think we should be fit, you know, and I'm not talking about we all need to be CrossFitters, God forbid, but I'm talking about, are we doing something to keep ourselves fit? Are we watching our diet? You know, some of us, we don't watch our diet till something happens and the doctor puts us on a diet and then we hate the doctor. It's not his fault. And these things happen. So listen, or how about this one too? How about financially? You see, I believe we need to work at ways where we can free up finances so that we can do the work that the Lord has given us. And, you know, I know that, you know, we offer twice a year the whole Dave Ramsey thing so people can get, you know, tight with their finances, not tight wads, but tight with their finances, understanding them and getting them. So listen, think about that in your life, because here's what Paul's saying. He wants to go to Spain. He wants to be there. He wants to enjoy their company, but he's not just sitting back saying, well, if God wants me in Spain, he'll get me in Spain. Now, he's got a plan, it sounds like. And we'll read a little bit more about it. He's kind of being strategic and being intentional about what he's doing. And then, listen, then he says this, I'm going to do that, but, notice that, but now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Here's what he's saying. I have this great plan, and I got this worked out, But I have something more immediate to take care of before I can go to Spain. So once again, I believe we need to look at our lives as we're doing these things. What are some of the immediate things that we need to take care of, that we need to make sure that we're taking care of? Paul says, hey, I got to go to Jerusalem. I don't think that's the greatest idea in the world. This is my personal opinion because I read the book of Acts. And he's saying, listen, I need to go to Jerusalem. I've got some stuff for the church in Jerusalem. And so, you know what? We're going to do what we can to get there. And he says, listen, but now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. So now listen, as Paul is getting into this, here's what he's knowing. He says, listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because I've got something I got to take care of. I got a ministry of mercy going on here. And I want to make sure, listen, the people, the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, that would include Corinth, they've given this sum of money that I got to get to the saints in Jerusalem. Now, obviously, something was going on in Jerusalem, right? And we'll read, and if you, maybe not read, but remember, there was that famine going on, especially when Paul got there and Agabus, the prophet, came and talked to him, and all of that's going on. Now, here's the cool thing. The churches in Macedonia and Achaia, they heard about, here's what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. We need to take care of them. We need to make sure they're okay. You got to remember, in that generation, as you became a Christian in Jerusalem, you're probably more than likely a Jew who came to the Lord and you, quote, gave up your Judaism to come to Jesus. What do you think all of the synagogues and all of the Jews, how do you think they're going to treat you? They're not going to give you a job. They're not going to take care of you. You're going to be suffering some persecution. So it's kind of cool. Here's what he says. The Gentiles up north, and those especially in the, you know, area of Corinth and stuff, here's what they realized. We were blessed because of that church in Jerusalem. Because the church sent out those to share the gospel. And they came and they told us the gospel. We got the good news from them. So here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to take up an offering. We're going to take up a collection. And we're going to send it by Paul. And we're going to give it to Paul and a couple others. And they're going to take it down. And they're going to take it to Jerusalem. And they're going to take care of the saints there. That's kind of cool to think about, isn't it? That they have that kind of heart and that kind of willingness. And then it's sort of, to me, pretty mind-boggling that Paul says, yeah, I'll take the money. You know, I personally here, I don't like to handle any money that comes here because I don't want, you know, number one, it's filthy lucre. That's why I just don't even want to get involved with it. Number two, I don't want any accusations to be made and things going on. So I think it's important for, you know, sometimes you got to stay clear of that, but sometimes you got to get involved. And Paul says, I'm going to carry this, man. I'm going to carry this money to Jerusalem. And you know what? When I'm done, he says it was their duty. Did you pick up on that? It was sort of their duty to do it. But then listen what he says again in verse 28. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, not only what they gave was a duty, but what they gave was a fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I kind of like that idea, don't you? As Paul's looking at this and letting them know that they have this tremendous fruit, and he says, listen, he says, when I do that, I'm going to go by way of you to Spain. Notice, this is the second time he brought up Spain. Like, he's got Spain on the brain, right? Not spam, Spain. He's really into Spain. He's really thinking about Spain. He's got this desire to go to Spain, and I find it interesting because I don't believe he ever made it to Spain. Oh, there's some who disagree, and they read this weird passage out of one of the apostolic fathers, the early church fathers, that has this weird passage about Paul making it to the West, and they translate that he made it to Spain. I don't know how they come up with that. I don't think he made it to Spain. When I read the end of the book of Acts, it doesn't look like he's going to go very much any place but Rome. But he says, man, he's got this in his heart. He's got this on his mind. So he says, hey, you guys are going to help me. Now listen to what he says. But, verse 29, I know when I come to you, this is the Spain trip again, right? I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, some of your translations leave out the gospel of the gospel, and it says, I'll just come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. But I love the idea. Here's what Paul says. When I come to you, man, I'm going to come preaching the gospel. I'm going to be all about sharing the gospel, because that's what Paul did, right? Even when he's in a church, he's still wanting to share the gospel, wanting to get that out. Listen what he says in Philippians. This kind of sums up Paul's heart and Paul's ministry. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Whether Paul was chained up or whether he was free, whether he was beaten with rods or you know, given flowers, what's Paul doing? The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. He knows it's got to get out. That's his priority in ministry, and that's his heart. And so he says, listen, you guys, when I come, I want to share the gospel. But there's still this thing going on that he's got to get to. He's got to go to Jerusalem first. And this next section kind of, to me, says before Paul ever left on that trip, he kind of knew something was going to happen. I don't know if you know the story of when he gets to Jerusalem. Well, we'll read it in a minute. I'll keep you in suspense. But it's sort of like he knows, listen to his next little section here. He says, man, I'm going to come to you. I want to preach the gospel. Verse 30, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Now listen, I love this. Here's what Paul's saying. I beg you. That's the same phrase and same words he uses in chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, I beseech you, or I beg you, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Listen, he's adamant. He's passionate about this. And he's letting them know, man, I really need you guys. Does that sound like somebody who's just going to go on a trip and deliver some money? Or does it sound like somebody who knows this is going to be one of the hardest trips I've ever gone on? This is going to be a tough one, even though all I'm doing, listen carefully, all Paul was doing was taking a pile of money from Macedonia to Jerusalem. It's not that huge, right? And you know, just practically speaking, that's not that big a deal. Just, you know, get on your donkey, carry the money, throw it in the church, and leave. But he's telling him, I beg you, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, right? That you guys, man, you guys got to strive. Notice strive. That's that word agonize. Are you kind of getting the idea? He knew before he ever left this was not going to be an easy trip. Somehow, it's been revealed to him. We're going to read in a minute. It was definitely revealed to him along the way. But even before he left, and he says, man, let's strive together in prayers to God for me. And I love that idea. Don't you love the idea that Paul, the apostle, is asking a group of people he's never even met, never even had any kind of physical contact with, to pray for him? Why? Because they're connected spiritually, right? They're connected by the Holy Spirit, by the love of God. They're connected by the fact that Jesus Christ died. Listen, they're so together. I love this, man. So he says, listen, now he lays out kind of three distinct areas. And it's kind of interesting because Paul's not read that book of Acts yet, just so you know. He's not read like that last part, okay? So listen to what he says. Pray to God for me. Number one, that I might be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Number two, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And then number three, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. So listen, I see those three areas. Number one, he's saying, I want you to pray. I want you to pray that the unbelievers in Jerusalem, I want you to pray that they might accept me. Well, how did that work out? Again, I'm going to read a couple sections in Acts so we know, because he's saying, I want to kind of be protected from those people. In Acts 20, 22 through 24, it says this, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to me, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace, to the gospel of the grace of God." And in verse 21, "And we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" What happened when Paul got to Jerusalem? Exactly what the prophet said. He was bound up and arrested. Does it sound like that prayer got answered? You know, I'm reading this prayer and here's what Paul says. "Hey, I want you guys to pray that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe." Does it sound like that prayer got answered? Well, it depends on what you think answered is. Here's the thing. He didn't get killed, right? Some of you might think it might have been better to get killed. Hey, they didn't kill him. They wanted to kill him. They desired to kill him. They were after him, but he didn't get killed. Listen, I think he came that close to getting it. You think maybe the prayers of the church at Rome kind of helped that out? I don't understand how prayer works. I have to be honest with you. I don't understand. But here's what I know. It does. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, because I believe God's sovereign, I believe God is working, I believe I don't change God's mind. But I also believe that God told me to pray, and he works through prayer, and I've seen him do it. How does all of that work? You know, here's what I'm glad. I don't need to know, I just need to trust. And I just need to call on him, and I need to believe that he hears my prayer. So listen, Paul, that part, I believe that part was answered because he wasn't killed. Then the second one, he says, "I want to pray that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable." When we think about that, here's the thing. We know it wasn't the believers that caused, you know, him to be mistreated. But in some ways, if you read about it, you don't read in Acts where anybody ever came up to Paul and said, "Hey, man, thanks for bringing the, you know, risking your life and bringing that to..." No one ever thanked him. But was it accepted? You got to read. I didn't even get this scripture because I want you guys to go read it. You got to go read in Peter. You got to read 2 Peter, where Peter talks about how they thought of the Apostle Paul. And that's all I'm going to give you because I want you to really go read it. Not while I'm teaching. But I really want you to go check it out and look at it. 2 Peter 3:15 is pretty incredible because it gives us a little bit of insight into what really took place throughout Paul's life. And then the last one, he says, "I pray that I may come with joy with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you." Paul says, I want to come and minister to you. Did that one get answered? Absolutely. Probably not quite what Paul had in mind when he wanted to go to Rome, right? I don't think as Paul was thinking about, "I'm going to go to Rome and then on to Spain," I don't think he ever had in mind, "I'm going to go to Rome in the bottom of a ship as a prisoner." But the kind of cool thing is Rome paid his expenses, right? They kind of got in there. They took care of him. They gave him a trip. And you know, he wrecked a boat on the way, but that's just Paul. As I look at this prayer and as I look at the beginning of this section, and I see Paul's heart, Paul's desire. Here's a couple things I draw from that. Is number one, we do need to be flexible. We do need to be, and again, that doesn't mean we just go off and carelessly do ministry, but we need to be flexible. We need to be sometimes redirected by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to be like completely turned around, and it's okay. But the only way that's going to happen is by us staying connected to the Lord. And we need to do that through prayer and fellowship and hanging out with each other and making sure that's going on in our lives. But then secondly, and I think more importantly, is if God puts something on our heart and it's from Him, it's going to get done. It may not get done the way we think. There is no way the Apostle Paul thought, okay, here's how I'm going to get to Rome. I'm in Corinth right now. I'm going to go all the way down to Jerusalem. I'm going to cause a ruckus. I'm going to freak everybody out because that's what I do. And so, you know, I'm going to get everybody upset. The Jews are going to try and kill me. Then I'm going to appeal to Caesar. Then I'm going to get a free trip to Rome. That wasn't even on his radar. But yet that's how God got him there. And you and I need to be looking, instead of looking at our circumstances, it seemed to me we sang a song about that this morning. When the waters rise, when I face the struggle in the darkest days. Do you think when Paul was in that ship, he was thinking, woohoo, free trip to Rome? I'm sure he's thinking, this stinks, man. I was thinking of going on a cruise to get to Rome, and I was wanting like a cabin, and I didn't want to do that. Listen carefully. God got him to Rome, but not the way he thought. And sometimes we pray, and God begins to answer prayers, and listen carefully. He's going to answer them in His way, and here's what we do. We whine, we complain, we moan, we groan, and here's God saying, I'm just answering your prayer. Think about it, saints. Because here's what He did. He did bring joy to Rome. He did come and minister to Rome in crazy times. So then, Paul says this, now, at the end of that, after he's asking them and saying, I want to be refreshed together with you. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You know, whenever I read that and I think about the Apostle Paul, and Paul here is saying, now may the God of peace be with you all. Here's what I'm thinking. Man, that guy's life was one chaotic event after another chaotic event, right? I mean, I don't know. You don't ever read where Paul like just cruised for a while. It's just like... the entire time. His life is going as fast as it can go, as hard as it can go, all the time. And here's what he says, now may the peace of God. I don't think he ever had much physical peace. But here's what I know. He had intense spiritual peace. And that's what matters. You see, he not only had peace with God, he possessed the peace of God in the midst of all of those trials and tribulations, all of the boat wrecks he had, all of the beatings he had, the one time where he was stoned to death, all of the things that went on in his life. Paul walked through that with the peace of God abounding in his heart. I believe we should all strive for that. And then what happens is when he answers your prayer in the unlikely way that you didn't plan on him answering, you're going to walk through that and you're going to get to the other side and here's what you're going to say, man, God answers prayer every time. Every time. So, Paul made it to Rome. I don't believe he ever made it to Spain. J. Vernon McGee thinks he did. So we don't agree on that. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I don't think he did. I think the Acts end of book of Acts kind of points a different direction personally. But listen carefully. You can have dreams and desires and goals. Some are going to be obtained, some are not. But it doesn't mean you're in the will of God or out of the will of God. I believe sometimes he has this dream about things to get us to Rome. You say, I'm not sure Paul would have ever gone to Rome. Well, he took him in that direction, but I don't think Rome would have ever been on his radar if it wasn't a nice pit stop on the way to Spain. Why? Because he wants to go and preach where the gospel was never heard. So, in our lives, I'm hoping some of us wrote down about making a plan and being kind of intentional about what we're going to do with our life spiritually, ministry-wise, physically. I'm praying that we're going to kind of set some things. How am I going to, and not just, I want to grow this year. I would believe every single Christian in here wants to grow this year. But how am I going to facilitate that, and what? How far do I want to go, and what do I want to do? Ministry, what am I going to do? And write down specifics. Get specific about it and do that. Now, some of us aren't journalers, and I know that. I'm not a journaler, so you can write it down in your head. You know, I get that. But then how about also taking care of our physical bodies and taking care of our finances and making sure we're okay so that we can do the work of the ministry freely? Let's stand up and pray. Lord, we thank you for the challenge here that I see that Paul gives us as we just kind of get a glance into the ministry that he wants to do, the ministry that he's going to do there in Rome. And Lord, just how he had, I'm sure, as he's sitting in Corinth writing that letter, I'm sure the visions in his head and the things that he saw and dreamt of are nowhere close to what actually took place. But God, I thank you that in him we have an example of a flexible individual. We don't want to be like that crazy captain on that boat, demanding and convinced and stubborn and stiff. But Lord, we do want to be flexible in the directions we're going, and we do want you to guide us. And God, I know when you call us to stand for something, we'll be able to. When you call us to walk, we'll be able to, because we're drawing close to you. And so, Lord, today, let this be a fruitful time in our lives where we kind of catch hold of, quote, the rest of our lives. And most of all, I pray that we would have a big God who can do the things that we dream about. Oh, we need faith, but we need faith in a big God, not a little God. And we don't want faith in faith. We want faith in you, Lord, to guide us and direct us. And I'm going to ask you to stay in a place of that, in a place of prayer for another couple moments. And you know what? If you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you've not asked him definitely to come into your life, and you know you haven't done that, today's the day of salvation. You're not here by accident. You might even be a little bit nervous about it, and I think that's kind of a good thing. That's a good sign. And so I want to challenge you today to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says whoever believes that, or whoever confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and believes in his heart, that person will be saved. So listen, today's the day to do that. Jesus died on the cross for you. The reason? Because you're a sinner. So you got to admit to him that you know you're a sinner. That's not hard. All of us are sinners. Then you got to be sorry for that sin. You got to have some remorse in your heart. And then next, you need to accept the fact that he died on the cross for you. Accept that into your life. So if you want to do that today, I'm going to say a prayer, and you can say this prayer with me out loud. You can do it silently, but you need to be sincere. It's got to come from your heart as you say this prayer. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin this morning. And now I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you today for your forgiveness. And now I want you to come into my heart. Jesus, I want you to come into my life and guide me. I'm asking you right now to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart and you said that prayer and meant it sincerely, it was coming from deep in your heart, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And if you do, put your hand up high so I can pray for you and celebrate with you if you make that decision this morning. Anyone in here? Greatest decision you'll ever make. I see yours way in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Father, I thank you for that individual that raised their hand. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them and bless them right now. God, as we're standing here and closing, I pray that you would become so real to them. That they would know the depth of your forgiveness and your love. That they would at least be able to begin to wrap their mind around that. And they would understand that right now, right where they're standing, that they're forgiven. That by your blood, you've washed away their sin. You've washed away the guilt and the shame. And now for the first time, they can worship you and honor you with their lives. God, grant them that reality. And bless them, Lord, with the knowledge of that. And for all of us, God, as we go out, Jesus, we don't want to be little Apostle Pauls. We want to be Christians. We want to be followers of Jesus. And God, we want to go out and we want to make a difference in this world. So Lord, I pray that we would glean from Paul's life, put some of those aspects and characteristics into our lives, and then go forward with you. Nonstop, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's celebrate with that person. Hey, for the individual that raised their hand and anybody else, you might have said that prayer and didn't raise your hand, and that's okay. It's not the raising of the hand that saves you, it's the prayer. So, hey, if for that person and anyone who might have said it, once again, we want to make sure you have a Bible. And we go through this, I know, every week, but we want to make sure you, and some of us need to hear it every week, we want to make sure you have a Bible. Why? Because the Bible's a revelation of God and who He is and who we are. So if you don't have a Bible, see us, we'll get you a Bible. Secondly, those who made that commitment, I'm going to ask you to come over here to the prayer room, right to my right, and let them know that you made that commitment. We've got a new believer's packet for you, and I know this war goes on inside. I'm not going to go, I'm going to go, I'm not going to go, I'm going to go. I'm afraid people are watching, and all of those things that happen. Listen, you just got to step up and do it. We're asking you to do it, not to call you out, not to embarrass you, not to give you courage. We want you to do it because we got something that will help you grow. That will be a blessing to you. That, you know, I know when I got saved, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in my bed at night. But listen, I went to church and I didn't get a new believer's packet and I didn't get help for a while and I kind of floundered. Listen, we do this so you can get solid and get some help. So make your way there, then let somebody know that you made that decision. Tell somebody. And that's so you can be discipled. Again, not to put you on the spot to make you, you know, do something that's uncomfortable, but so you can be discipled and someone can come alongside you. If you need someone, please let us know. And that goes for anyone in here. If you feel like you need some discipling, let us know. We have men and women who would love to love on you and encourage you. And then also, every Sunday at 11 o'clock next door in Building B, we have our foundation class going on. And that's a great, great way to get a start. So that's a six-week kind of lesson plan, and you can go through that, and it's just tremendous stuff to help you get solid in Christ. So that's going on. Hey, as we get ready to go, don't forget tonight, 6 p.m., Refuge going on here, a time where we can gather together, wait on the Lord, worship, and pray, and be together, and it's just a tremendous time. So come out for that at 6, School of Ministry registration. You know, if you want to do the Paul thing, you got to go to the School of Ministry. That's what I'm thinking. So that was a joke. Three people laughed. Thank you. The rest of you guys, you need a little bit of caffeine. But listen, School of Ministry is out there, so stop by, get that information. It's a great way. Listen, it's just a great way to, you know, just get yourself in a position to be used by God. So that's going on. Then also Wednesday at Calvary Midtown, we're going to be doing a pottery presentation. Pray for us that God would use that in great ways, especially for Pastor Dan Swanson, that God would just kind of do something cool in the fellowship there and kind of solidify some things for him. And so if we don't see you there, pray for us. You guys be blessed, encouraged, and go to Spain. God bless you.